Well, this is a story about what happened in my city when we decided to think differently about panhandling and lift people up through the dignity of work.
Go public.
It's a story that took Richard Berry from the mayor's office to the TEDx stage, and now to this podcast.
From governing and government technology, this is Go Public, stories of government getting it done.
Hi, I'm Paul Taylor.
I'm Zach Patton.
And I'm J.B. Wogan.
We've been thinking about a scene that repeats itself on street corners and at intersections over and over again. It begins with a person and a cardboard sign.
So we've likely all had the same kind of experience. You're walking down the street or your car pulls up to the streetlight and there's someone standing there holding a sign asking for money. And maybe you're conflicted about, you know, wanting to give them money, wanting to help, but wondering if there's a better way to connect them with social services or maybe even a way to help them get connected with finding a job. It turns out that's not just something that we think about as citizens. That's something that cities have been struggling with too, wrestling with that question. And that's something that, JB, I know you've been looking into.
Yeah, what we have seen in the past 3 years or so is the advent of new city programs where government is offering jobs to day jobs to panhandlers. And it's cropping up in places all over the country, from Seattle to Denver and Chicago in the Midwest to Portland, Maine. But the first city to do it, as far as we know, is Albuquerque, New Mexico, under then Mayor Richard Berry. I spoke to Richard Berry last month to hear how it all got started.
I actually have a picture I took. I was at lunch in Albuquerque in 2015, and I was driving back to City Hall. I saw a gentleman holding a sign that said he wanted the job. And I talked to mayors around the country, and I knew that panhandling was certainly an issue in many, many cities. It was oftentimes handled through prohibitions rather than being proactive and helping people. So I went back to my office, and I gathered my key staff around, and I said, listen, we're going to take this gentleman at his word. If he wants a job, we're going to create an initiative to give him a job, and we're going to see if we can't improve his life and improve our city at the same time.
But the program isn't just changing what the panhandler does. It also is changing the nature of giving in the city. People are being encouraged by their local government to give online rather than in person on the street corner. And Mayor Berry explained to us why they took that approach.
The Better Way program, when we first started, it started off with putting about 30 signs up in our community at intersections where panhandlers were standing. And the sign simply reads, if you need help with food or shelter, call 311, and we're going to connect you with these great services that we already have in our community. And then we also wanted to message to our community that, listen, there's a better way for you to help someone who needs a hand up than handing $5 out your window. Because if you talk to panhandlers, many of them will tell you that when you give them that few dollars, it may go to feeding them for the day, a fast food meal, but many, many times it goes to feeding an addiction. So we didn't know if anybody would actually call, but very soon into the program, the phone started ringing at our 311 center in Albuquerque. And I would guess by this point in time, we have over 12,000 people who have called, 12,000 times have called into the city looking for that help. They have been connected to services. And then people have also made donations. We use the United Way of Central New Mexico as our fiscal agent for this. And people can actually call in and they can make a donation and they can earmark it for whatever they would like, whether it's housing, feeding the homeless, food banks. It doesn't really matter. We will put it towards where they would like it to go. And by the time I left office in 2017, I think we'd had over $60,000 in donations to that as well.
Let's back up here a little bit. How have cities traditionally approached this issue of panhandling?
Historically, cities have tried to ban panhandling using the threat of fines and jail time to discourage public begging. But that approach has drawn some criticism. You've got the homeless advocates who say fines and incarceration don't address the real reason someone is panhandling in the first place. And then you've got civil rights groups who say the laws actually violate people's constitutional right to free speech.
Then how did Albuquerque change their approach to how they were dealing with this issue of panhandlers in their city?
So the city arranged with a local nonprofit to send a van around the city to locations, to intersections where they knew the panhandlers usually operated. And they took the panhandlers at their word. If they asked for a job, they were offered a day job at above the state and federal minimum wage, $9 an hour. And most of the work was manual labor, like picking up trash or doing landscape work. And they'd get a free meal out of it. And at the end of the day, they'd be dropped off at a nonprofit where they could be connected to social services, mental health counseling, that kind of thing.
Okay, so they're giving people a job instead of just giving them a handout. The city, as you said, partnered with this nonprofit. They've got this van they're driving around. But what are the actual costs that we're talking about here?
In the first year, the city budgeted about $50,000. In fiscal year 2017, they budgeted $181,000 to continue the program.
And so that's the expense of the van and kind of running the program, as well as the cost of actually hiring these folks on a daily basis.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Then what are the results that the city's been seeing? What's the impact that they've seen because of the program?
All right. So these are the latest stats from the city of Albuquerque. As of February 28th of this year, 1,356 people have gotten day jobs from the city. A lot of those people actually have been hired for day jobs more than once. The total number of jobs given out over the course of the last 3 years is actually 5,529 day jobs. 21 households have been housed as a result of the program. 252 people have been connected to some kind of support services like mental health counseling or addiction treatment. 69 people actually got permanent jobs. They followed up with an employment services center after working with the city, and they now have permanent jobs coming out of this program. At the same time the city has been offering these day jobs and support services, homelessness has actually risen about 2.5% in Albuquerque. Most of those people are sheltered in emergency shelters, but homelessness is not by any means eradicated or even going down as a result of There's a Better Way.
It sounds like, you know, maybe some modest gains on some of those metrics, but maybe some, you know, work still to do if the measure here is homelessness in the city.
Yeah, and I would say Mayor Barry himself has been pretty upfront about this. He says it's, you know, it's a good way to start the conversation. It's something good to do, but it is by no means a silver bullet or the whole solution.
Well, speaking of that, what's been some of the pushback against this kind of program? What's the criticism that it's attracted?
For the most part, homeless advocates I spoke to and civil rights groups actually like There's a Better Way because it doesn't criminalize the homeless. But I did speak to one guy, Jeremy Reynolds, who runs a nonprofit called Joy Junction. And his problem with There's a Better Way, there are two issues he raised with me. One, he thought that it gave the impression, especially to people outside of Albuquerque, that they had somehow nixed this homelessness problem, and they haven't. And the second issue was that it suggests that panhandlers can work if they were just offered a job. And what he said to me is many of them, panhandling is all that they can do.
Okay, so a little bit of a perception issue is his problem there. What is Mayor Barry up to now? We know that he left office last year. What's he focused on these days?
That's right. Mayor Barry is now Citizen Barry, but he is still involved in local government. He serves in advisory capacity with Yale and Harvard and the work that they do with mayors, as well as What Works Cities and Results for America, advising local governments, mostly, I think, on how to replicate There's a Better Way. And this is largely a continuation of the work he was doing while he was in office. In fact, he had recorded this great TED Talk, which has over 1 million views, about There's a Better Way.
And it really has been one of the key components in us taking this to scale around the country.
there are so many good ideas out there in America right now, and cities are really driving a lot of this innovation. And it's great when your city has a great program or a great initiative, but it's even better if you can inform other cities about that. And one of the best ways to make change and to make change happen is to engage the public, who can then put positive pressure on their local elected officials and their administrators to try to replicate things in their community. And that's what the TED Talk did. I think we're over 1 million views now. And so many mayors and other electeds that I talk to now will tell me that their constituents saw the TED Talk. They were very interested. We tried to make the TED Talk what a TED Talk is supposed to be. Ideas we're sharing, make it concise. They asked us to kind of lay out the recipe, if you will, for the Better Way program. People can understand it, and that is driving so much of what we're doing. We also produced a small video early on in the project, and it got picked up on the web, and I think it's been seen over 30 million times. So communication is vitally important in this. It doesn't matter how good your idea is if you can't get it to scale in your community, and if you can't get it to scale nationally. And this is just one of those areas where cities have a long way to go. We're always looking for best practices, but to be able to share those in a way that matters, to be able to replicate things is really important. And the TED Talk was just a great opportunity to do that.
And I was at lunch on July 17th, 2015, in my great American city. Then on my way back to City Hall, I saw this gentleman standing on a corner. And as you can see, he's holding a sign. And his sign says he wants a job. It's simple, he wants a job. So I decided to do something rare in government. I decided to make the solution simpler rather than more complicated. I went back to my office, I gathered my staff around, and I said, we're gonna take this man at his word and others like him. The man says he wants a job, we're gonna give him a job, and we're gonna make our city an even better place in the meantime.
That's from Mayor Barry on the TEDx Pennsylvania Avenue stage, and we'll have a link to the full TED Talk that he gave in the show notes for this episode. JB, I want to ask you one other question, which is, you know, we've been talking about how this is an approach that cities may want to take to change the way they approach panhandling in their city. But there's some developments that are suggesting that maybe cities are going to have to change the way that they approach this issue, right?
Yes, I think what you're referring to, Zach, is a Supreme Court case from 2015 that many of our listeners probably haven't heard of before, but it's Reed versus the town of Gilbert, Arizona. And at first glance, you would not think that this case would have any bearing on homelessness and panhandling. But it actually does, and in a big way. The town of Gilbert had a local law that restricted where signs for religious services could be displayed. And what the Supreme Court said was that local government has to tailor its regulations around signage very narrowly, and that they have to have a really good reason for regulating or restricting speech. And ultimately, that has resulted in cities all over the country either repealing their panhandling bans, or they've stopped enforcing them. What we're now seeing in places, including in Albuquerque, is cities looking for new kinds of panhandling ordinances that don't even mention the word panhandling in the language, but are trying to at least prevent people from panhandling at street corners. And what they're saying is the reason isn't to restrict speech, but rather to promote public safety.
What's interesting to me here is that this gets at this kind of issue that we've heard both from Democrats and Republicans. We hear a lot about the dignity of a job, the dignity of work, and that having a job is the key to lifting people out of poverty. And it's interesting to me the way this kind of dovetails in with that argument.
It's worth mentioning that Barry is a Republican, but this is an idea that I think has broad bipartisan appeal because it is more of a carrot approach than a stick approach. You're not punishing people for panhandling. You're offering them a way out and doing so both by paying them and by having them help make their communities better.
Oh, that's really interesting. Well, thank you so much, JB, for bringing this story to us today.
Thanks for having me on, Zach.
Sure. And with JB Wogan, I'm Zach Patton. And this is Go Public.
And that will do it for us this time around. We've got more of JB's coverage on this, plus a link to the TEDx talk, in the show notes at gopublicpod.com. Coming up next time.
I'm Noelle Nell, editor of Government Technology. We're working on a story about engagement overload. Residents have an ever-growing number of ways to offer input to government. GT is looking at a few new approaches to dealing with the influx. We'll have it for you next time on Go Public.
We'd like a little engagement overload ourselves. We've opened an inbox just for your feedback and story ideas. Write us, podcast@governing.com. If you like the show, please subscribe. If you love it, leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, thanks for listening.
We're just getting started. Let's keep the conversation going. Tweet us at Go Public Pod and subscribe to Go Public on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. And you know there's always more at governing.com and govtech.com.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.